With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Michael D., and this is Mike Toxie, Left is Never Right, here on Higher Truth Radio, coming to you live this gorgeous Wednesday morning in the North Dallas Metroplex in the Lone Star State of Texas. So, speaking of Dallas and Texas, the rape pimp in chief could not help himself, but once again, take pot shots at white America. And I think it's sad that I even have to say white America. But that's quite frankly what he did, and that's quite frankly what we are. It's now white America versus black America. I'm not the one that set the stage. I'm not the one that made it happen. I'm just reporting the facts. And I report the facts on a daily basis. Which is why no one can refute them other than by the usual Saul Alinsky mocking tactics and ad hominem insults. And, you know, I am really proud of myself because the last several days, I actually haven't gotten angry. Now, yes, I've thrown back some, you know, sarcastic stuff for fun and really just to tell them who they really are. But I'm very proud of myself that I haven't actually gotten angry over these people because I see them for what they are. They're left-wing, brainwashed, neo-Marxist sycophants. And Barack Obama couldn't waste any time, could he? Once again, you know, it's all of our fault that the poor Black Lives Matter people are such victims, and he basically justifies 5 police being killed and 7 others injured. And some of them are probably still in the hospital to this day. But, of course, that doesn't get reported anymore because, well, the newspapers sold, the ratings went up for that particular point in time, and that wave is starting to crash to shore. No, the race pimp in chief, he had to portray Philando Castile or whatever his name is and the other guy, Alistair Sterling, whatever his name is, as 2 pillars of society, when in fact that couldn't be farther from the truth. Alistair Sterling, or Alabaster Sterling, whatever his name is, Orlando Sterling, whatever, has a 20-year rap sheet. Personally, this incident never should have happened because this guy should be in jail for the rest of his life. It goes from being a sex offender multiple times to not reporting to a place he moved to as a sex register as a sex offender on more than one occasion. He has also been armed with a handgun while selling illegal CDs on multiple occasions. He has had run-ins with the police on multiple occasions, dating all the way back to when he was 17 years old in 1996. Sterling has been nothing but trouble to society. Barack Obama wants to paint him as, oh, he always cooked more than enough for his family. Oh, get bent. Barack Obama, get bent. Guy has a 20-year history. He never should have been out on the street in the first place. But Barry doesn't want to mention that. No. Now, this guy, he's such a victim, and he was such a great family man. Okay. Then you have Philando Castile, whatever. Over 50 traffic violations. Over 50. Now, while these are not violent crimes like Mr. Sterling's, nonetheless, over 50. The guy is in constant contact with the police over an extended period of time. On top of that, word comes out that he may have been a suspect and pulled over for being in an armed robbery. And I forget which one. Was it Castle or Castile, whatever the hell, or Sterling, that it looks like has a gun on his lap at the time of being pulled over. But yet, Barack Obama wants to say, poor Mr. Castile, he was Mr. Rogers in dreadlocks. Give me a freaking break. This was about five police officers for no reason being killed by a Muslim and a radical black domestic terrorist. Period. And this crap that he was working alone. Well, you know, maybe he precipitated the actions alone, but he was not alone. His Facebook page showed so many likes to this black militant group over here, this black militant group over there. Just tell it like it is. It's not a cop problem. It's not a gun problem. It's not a white problem. It's a black problem, okay? Let's just tell it like it is. It's a black problem. You go to any inner city and you're going to see bedlam in it. From Baltimore to Baton Rouge to Stockton, California to Newark, New Jersey. It's the same story. And the FBI statistics back it up. And I could do 20 minutes of my show going after stat, after stat, after stat, and I'm just not going to do it because it's out there. You look at the crime rate of all white neighborhoods and you compare and contrast to all black neighborhoods, and it's night and day, pun intended. All right, it's just a black problem. Black men make up 6% of the population, and they commit more crime than all the whites combined. It's just a fact. And it's one thing, I'm going to disagree with Alex Jones. Yes, Bill Clinton made the Minimum Sentencing Act. He federalized it. Puts a lot of blacks in prison. And Alex Jones said, that's racist. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because guess what? If you're not doing a freaking crime, you don't go to freaking jail. I mean, it's just the way it is. Why is it that Michael B. has never spent a day in jail? Because he's never gotten worse than a freaking traffic ticket. That's why. Have I ever been pulled over with drugs in my car? No. Have I ever tried to jack a liquor store? No. Have I ever beat up a woman? No. Have I ever tried to sell bootleg CDs with a gun in my pocket? No. Have I ever tried to sell illegal cigarettes on a street corner? No. That's why Michael B. has never been in prison. I don't break the law. I live my life. I live my life. I take care of my family. I do a show. I do a job. I move on. Maybe black people stop committing so many freaking crimes, the jails won't be full of them. Ever think of that? You know, Asians and Indians from India, they're minorities too. And how come they're not in jail? How come they're not getting shot by cops? Why is that? Because they mind their business. They come to this country, they go to work, they open up a business, and they carry on. They don't even get involved in politics, really. You look at every rally, it's whites, blacks, and Hispanics. You don't see Indians and Asians holding Trump or Hillary or Bernie signs. Not at all. I don't see any. They mind their business, they do the job, they take care of their families, and they go about their business. They don't cry. Where? Poor me. They go to work. And as I said yesterday on my show, black people that don't buy into this bull crap, that have no problem going to school, want to learn proper English, want to dress properly, they have great lives. Herman Cain, Ben Carson, just to name two of them. And yet, even your black Jesus, your patriots, your patron saint of the left, Barack Obama, same thing, didn't he? Went to school, went to college, put a suit on, learned how to speak well. He's the president of the United States. Why can't you do it? How come you don't call Barry Satoru and Uncle Tom? He's the biggest sellout you ever had. He doubled your employment rate over 8 freaking years, and you say nothing. No, it's a white problem. It's a cop problem. It's a gun problem. No, it isn't. It's a black problem. It's a culture problem. Deal with it, learn it, accept it, like it. Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist group. Deal with it. We have these libtards saying, oh, get rid of the police department. Oh, come on. Get rid of the police departments. Right. I had one idiot on Facebook this morning saying, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I can provide my own security. No, you can't. You can't go to a sporting event. You can't go to a rock concert. You can't pick up your kids at school with a freaking gun. You can't do any of these things. You cannot provide your own security. And by the way, if we didn't have a police force, everybody would choose their own brand of justice. Contemplate that for a little bit. Spend 3 minutes today in a quiet room and imagine a world where billions of people have their own brand of justice. Contemplate on it. We have police departments for a reason, and though there are many that are corrupt, it's a very small percentage as opposed to the good ones out there. There's good and bad everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stop buying into the race pimps and pretend that all cops are bad and all white people are bad and all this nonsense. Because quite frankly, it's not doing us a service. So, you know, and again, let's look at reality. You can go on FBI website. You can look at every single inner city. You can look at every black neighborhood that's out there. And, you know, the truth will set you free. So go ahead. So I want to get into the Clinton body count with the time remaining. I did part one yesterday. I'm going to do part two, but I'm going to fast forward into, like, the other day. I'm telling you, folks, do not go to work for the Democratic National Convention, or committee, rather, because you're going to wind up dead. A 27-year-old man who worked for the Democratic National Committee was shot and killed as he walked home early Sunday in the Bloomingdale neighborhood of Northwest D.C., police and his family said. Seth Conrad Rich died after he was shot multiple times on the 2100 block of Flagler Place and W for Northwest, I guess, 3 blocks east of Howard University Hospital. Worst nightmare, Rich's mother, Mary Rich, said by phone. Mary Rich said police told the family her son may have been the victim of an attempted robbery. Yeah, they all are. They're all robberies. He was talking on the phone with his girlfriend when she heard noise on Rich's end of the line, Mary Rich said. Her son told his girlfriend not to worry about it. There has been a struggle. His hands were bruised, his knees are bruised, his face is bruised, and yet he had two shots to his back. And yet they never took anything. Wait a second. When you're a victim of a robbery, isn't something usually taken? I mean, that's the point of a robbery, right? To rob someone, to take something. They took his life for literally no reason. They didn't finish robbing him. They just took his life. They hurt the community, and they hurt the long-term possibility of what he could have done, continued his mom. Rich lived in the neighborhood. Acting Captain Anthony Haight of the Metropolitan Police Department's Homicide Branch said at a news conference. So, all right, so apparently, he was being robbed, but nothing was taken, and they just blasted him. Rich, again, worked for the DNC. DNC Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz issued a statement. Our hearts are broken. He worked tirelessly for the right for Americans to vote, blah, blah, blah. And then they give his credentials. So don't work for the DNC, folks, I got to tell you. So let's go on to the Clintons Part 2. And we go to Kathy Ferguson. Ex-wife of Arkansas Trooper Danny Ferguson, 38-year-old Kathy Ferguson was found dead in May 1994 in her living room with a gunshot to her right temple. It was ruled a suicide, even though there were several packed suitcases as if she was about to go somewhere. Ferguson was a hospital worker, and her death came a mere 5 days after the death of her ex-husband. Danny Ferguson was a co-defendant, along with Bill Clinton, in the Paula Jones lawsuit. And Kathy Ferguson was a possible corroborating witness for Paula Jones. The LA Times reported the ex-wife of a state trooper who was a co-defendant in a sexual harassment lawsuit against President Clinton died in an apparent suicide. Kathy Ferguson, 37, was found dead of a gunshot wound to the right temple early Wednesday at the home of her boyfriend, said Mark Malcolm, chief deputy coroner for Pulaski County. They all seem to live in Pulaski County. Number 12, Bill Shelton. Shelton, an Arkansas state trooper, was the fiancé of Kathy Ferguson. Wow. He criticized the suicide ruling of his fiancé and was found dead in Sherwood, Arkansas, on June 12, 1994, of a gunshot wound sprawled on the gravesite of his fiancé. So, isn't that interesting? So, Kathy Ferguson apparently commits suicide in May of 94, and then her fiancé, a month later, at her gravesite, commits suicide. Does anybody find that at all peculiar? You know, is it just me? The police report indicated that the fatal shot entry point was behind the right ear. Well, I don't know too many people that could commit suicide putting it behind the right ear. And the exit wound was behind the left ear. This guy was whacked, execution style. Also, first accounts indicated that Trooper Ferguson left a note found next to his body stating, "I can't stand it anymore. Local police chief says it puts big questions in your mind. Why?" All right, folks, let's be honest. I mean, every movie you've ever seen, plus this guy's a state trooper, he's going to put the gun behind his ear. Come on, have you ever seen that before? I've seen temple shots. I've seen through the mouth, under the jaw. Who the hell puts it behind the right ear? I mean, come on. Come on. Number 13, Gandhi Baugh, B-A-U-G-H. Baugh was the attorney for Bill Clinton's friend and drug distributor, Dan R. Lasseter. Oh, you want to read about this winner? You go to Roger Stone's book, The Clinton's War on Women. Oh, this guy's a beaut. Baugh died by allegedly jumping out the window of a tall building in January of 1994. His law partner allegedly committed suicide 1 month later. I mean, folks, you have not seen 1993 and 1994? I mean, the body count is huge. The Los Angeles Times writes of his client, Dan R. Lasseter. Dan R. Lasseter, an Arkansas friend and fundraiser who has proved an embarrassment to President Clinton, did his best Wednesday to make up for past wrongs in an appearance before the Senate Whitewater Committee. Lasseter, a committed cocaine user and distributor, freely acknowledged that he had lobbied Clinton as governor and had contributed to his state campaign in an effort to win business for his bond underwriting business. Florence Martin, number 14. Martin was an accountant subcontractor for the CIA and died October 23, 1994. Of note, Martin supposedly had knowledge of the Barry Seal, oh yes, Men of Arkansas airport drug smuggling case. And by the way, President Bush, ladies and gentlemen, is all over this one. Oh, the Bush and Clinton, they've had a partnership for a very, very long time. Matter of fact, and I didn't get a chance to read it yet, Roger Stone put out another book called Jeb, Bush Crime Family. And in his Clinton's War on Women, you read a lot about the Bush-Clinton tag team, if you will. And the men of Arkansas airport drug smuggling, they were knee-deep in it together. Seal died of 3 gunshot wounds. That's execution style, folks. Once again, several reports indicated that Florence Martin, at the time of her death, had the account and PIN numbers for a Fuji bank account in the Cayman Islands in the name of Barry Seal, which held $1.4 million. Immediately following her death, the money was moved to the Virgin Islands. Number 15, Susan Coleman. Coleman reportedly had an affair with Bill Clinton when he was the Arkansas Attorney General. She died of a gunshot wound to the back of the head, which was ruled a suicide. She was pregnant at the time of her death. Wait a minute. Who puts the gun to the back of their own head and, come on. Number 16, Paula Grover. And they've got a picture of her on this website. She's a very good-looking woman. Grover was Bill Clinton's speech interpreter for the death from 1978 until her death in December 1992. She died in a one-car accident with no known witnesses. Her body was thrown 33 feet from the car, indicating a very high speed. Said to be a very attractive woman, and by this picture, she sure was. Grover traveled extensively with Clinton from 78 until her death. Clinton, through his spokesman, called Grover's death a great personal loss. Hillary and I extend our sincere sympathy to Paula's family. I had the privilege of working with her over many years. Yeah, I bet you did. Number 17, Danny Casolaro. Casolaro was an investigative reporter who was looking into the Mena Airport and Arkansas Development Finance Authority. He slipped his wrist, apparently, in the middle of his investigation. Casolaro's body was found on August 10, 1991. In a blood-filled bathtub by a hotel maid who called the Martinsburg, West Virginia police. The body contained 3 deep cuts on the right wrist and 7 on the left. He was a freelance writer. His brother was skeptical. Let's go to Paul Wiltshire. Wiltshire was the attorney investigating the raid on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. Yeah, Waco. He was found dead on a toilet on June 22, 1993, in his Washington, D.C. apartment. He had delivered an extensive affidavit with eyewitness testimony on the Waco events to Janet Reno on May 21st. 1993. In his report to Attorney General Reno, Wiltshire said that he was in grave danger and that if the information he had for the Attorney General fell into the wrong hands, there could be people silenced in the very near future. Though unable to collaborate, it was reported Wiltshire was working with Danny Castellara on the Manor, Arkansas investigation. Number 19, John Parnell Walker. Walker was one of the Whitewater investigators who worked for Resolution Trust Corp. He allegedly jumped to his death from his Arlington, Virginia apartment balcony on August 15, 1993. He was investigating the Morgan Guarantee Whitewater scandal. Number 20, Barbara Wise. Wise died on November 29, 1996. Wise was a close associate of Ron Brown and John Huang and was discovered dead in her locked office on the fourth floor of the Department of Commerce. She was partially nude and had sustained contusions throughout her body. The Associated Press report, Washington. A Commerce Department employee was found dead in a fourth floor office at the agency's downtown headquarters on Friday. The body was discovered around 7:45 a.m. by a coworker arriving for work, police said. The woman was identified as Barbara Elise Weiss, Alice, 48 of Gambrill, Maryland. She had worked as a secretary for 14 years at the Department's International Trade Administration. Ann Luzzatto, chief spokeswoman for Commerce Secretary Mickey Cantor, said the unit where she worked provided analysis for various industries and studies designed to boost export sales. The woman had been last seen alive at Commerce late Wednesday afternoon before the agency closed for the Thanksgiving holiday. Sergeant Michael Furish, a homicide investigator with District of Columbia Police, said officers have found no signs of foul play and believe that she died of natural causes. Everybody died partially nude with bruises all over their body. But the case continued to be investigated as a homicide. A preliminary autopsy was unable to determine the cause of death. A local television station, WRC, unidentified police sources as saying that the office where the body was found was locked and the body was partially nude. Yes, that happens all the time. After her body was discovered, Bill Clinton made an impromptu flight back to the White House from Camp David. The crime has never been solved. So, we read off 11 more today, and I'm going to post this as I usually do, the links that I use on Facebook. And you people can read it, digest it, and look for yourselves what we have here. We need to stop this crime mafia family from entering the White House. It is imperative, ladies and gentlemen. As I have been trying to get through to everyone, this is no longer about conservative versus liberal. It's no longer Republican versus Democrat, which makes Donald Trump so great because, quite frankly, he really is neither. He's not a Democrat, and he certainly is not a staunch Republican. I mean, that's just the truth. It is time that the rule of law be placed first. Yesterday, and I didn't watch it because I was so disgusted with Comey, but I'm sure I probably would have had a heart attack yesterday if I watched Loretta Lynch. But all signs show that she was absolutely not willing to cooperate. So the woman needs to be subpoenaed officially. And if she doesn't answer, she needs to be put into contempt. This is about the rule of law, ladies and gentlemen. This is about a crime family, an organized crime family taking back the White House again. Now, Donald Trump and we the people were successful in stopping one crime family, the Bushes. We need to stop this one. This one is equally as dangerous. And we must act. And if Donald Trump is screwed at the convention, then, ladies and gentlemen, that is a surefire ticket for Hillary Clinton to win, and it is going to be ball game over. It is going to be ball game over for this country. I know, it's called fear-mongering, and we said that in 2012 about Obama. Well, you know what? You think about what actually we've gone through from 2012 to 2016. Look at it. Now, the vast majority of us may not have been directly affected. We think we haven't, but believe me, on some level, all of us have been adversely affected by this individual, financially, physically, emotionally. On some level, we've been adversely affected big time, a hell of a lot worse than 2008 to 2012. So, can we just imagine for a second what 2017 to 2021 is going to look like? Can we just close our eyes and picture that for a moment? I'm going to conclude the show with about a minute and a half audio clip. It's called Clinton versus Comey. And then I'm going to go into the closing New World Order theme. I'll see you folks tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Time. My name is Michael B. Higher Truth Radio, Mike's Hot Seat, Left is Never Right. You can also find me on Facebook, Seeking Higher Truth. You got to become my friend first. Good luck with that. I'm selective. We're going to knock out the New World Order, my friends. One libtard sycophant at a time. Clinton versus Comey.
I did not email any classified material to anyone. There is no classified material.
110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
I provided all my emails that could possibly be work-related.
Several thousand work-related emails that were not among the group of 30,000 emails returned by Secretary Clinton.
I thought using one device would be simpler.
She also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email.
There were no security breaches.
It is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account.
It was my practice to communicate with State Department and other government officials on their .gov accounts.
Hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account.
No doubt that we've done exactly what we should have done.
They were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
People will be able to judge for themselves.
We cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts.
Thank you very much.
To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences.
Americans will find that, interesting, and I look forward to having a discussion about that.
Sand Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.